Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, and youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Party on, party animals. There's a baseball game going on, bottom of the third in Colorado. The Diamondbacks lead the Rockies 6-0. And Corbin Carroll is having himself a day. He's hit two dangers.
A little danger action?
Yeah, he's got two dangers. And this comes to us via Ryan Spader, Ace of Spader on Twitter. Former Hillsboro Hop legend Corbin Carroll has 69 runs scored over his last 69 games played.
Very nice.
Yeah, nice.
Very nice.
That's incredible.
A run a game is pretty good.
Yeah, and he scored twice today with two dangers. 69.
Dude, like me a nice dinger.
Yeah, I like dingers too.
I like a good dinger of a 69.
Chicks dig the long ball.
I got baseball notes for us later today. Yeah. Because you've heard of Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now yep. You have Shoeless Jose Altuve.
Yeah, that was fun last night.
And some... But not to pile on Mariners fans, but 11-2, come on. Yeah. We'll get to that. And then I have one other baseball note because the worst keep getting far worse. But in the NFL, a little stat bomb was floated out on Sunday after an interception was overturned from Patrick Mahomes. And it was like since 2018, Patrick Mahomes has had more interceptions overturned than any other player in the NFL. Bum, bum, bum. So what they're saying is that, led the tinfoil hatters on Twitter to say, see, the NFL is just protecting Mahomes and the Chiefs. And look, I became very accustomed to seeing this with Tom Brady over the years, where people just like, nope, there's no way these guys are that good. They're either cheating, league is trying to protect them and prop them up. Well, Bill Barnwell of ESPN, he was like, fine, I'm going to take a deep dive into this.
This is the kind of, like, there's a level of, like, petty insight here. I've done this when I've seen somebody say something about a player in the NBA, and I go, well, I have access to everything, so let me take a look at this.
Well, Barnwell did.
And he did.
And Barnwell knows his foosball.
Yes, he does. And he immediately started using the proper analytics of everything to put everything into context.
Yeah. So, let's start at the baseline. Since 2018, no player in the NFL has attempted more passes than Patrick Mahomes.
Which matters, because if you're talking about more potential interceptions that are being overturned for by the refs, there's also more opportunity. So you have to understand scale.
Well, the only person within 100 attempts is Jared Goff, who was, oddly enough, 100 attempts less than Mahomes. On the dot.
300.
No, it was 100. Jared Goff has attempted 3,508. Mahomes has attempted 3,608.
Oh, he's the only one within 300.
Yes.
Yes.
Jared Goff is the only player within 300 of Patrick Mahomes. So, far and away, he has attempted more passes.
Were you surprised to see Goff's name that high?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, he threw the ball 44 times this past weekend, right?
I don't think they played from behind a lot. I just don't think that association is often made with Jared Goff and airing the ball out.
Slings it, man. Yeah. Actually, I always associate slinging the ball with Jared Goff.
Really?
Because he played in the air raid in college.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Like, when that happens, I'm like, you always throw.
Okay.
Jared Goff will always throw ball.
I just don't, like, because that Rams team, when they made it to the Super Bowl, it was the muted Jared Goff.
Yeah, Todd Gurley.
Yeah, that's what I always have in my head.
Yeah. So Mahomes has thrown more attempts than anybody in the league, and it's not particularly close, okay? He also leads a lot of categories outside of attempts and does not lead in interceptions, oddly enough. But the play against the Bengals that is being kind of thrown out there as Mahomes gets bailed out by the officials for bad refereeing, that statistic doesn't take into account the free play, right? Mm-hmm. When a defensive player jumps off sides.
And you take advantage of it.
A quarterback can take a risk, throw the ball up, doesn't matter what happens, because you're either getting 5 yards or a touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you wipe those out, that is 8 of the 17 interceptions that have been overturned. 8 of the 17. You're almost at half of those interceptions are on offsides, which that's not an official bailing you out. That penalty is thrown before the play even starts, and he knows it.
And so he's taking advantage of an opportunity.
So you take 8 of them off the board on that one. The ones that people could be saying are, all right, costly, are the holding, pass interference, roughing the passer, illegal contact, in all of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, one of them is actually a roughing the passer from Matthew Judon back when he was a Baltimore Raven. So, that brings us down to 16, okay? 16 of them are PI, defensive holding, illegal contact downfield. That's a pretty incredible number right there. If you take those 8, that is 1 in every 452 attempts from Patrick Mahomes since 2018 that an official has taken an interception and taken it off the board.
No counties.
That is a pretty staggering number. I mean, that's a really, really staggering number. What Barnwell said further was it's one of the higher rates that he can find, but there's one quarterback who has a higher rate of interceptions overturned since referees in 2018.
And he was in that game.
It's Joe Burrow.
Mm.
His is 1 in every 327 attempts. Burrow has an interception overturned for a PI, defensive holding, etc. So the team that was griping about it the most actually has the quarterback that gets the most calls. And it's by a wide margin over Mahomes.
I don't like it.
Yeah?
I don't like it.
You just would rather bury your head and say that Patrick Mahomes is getting bailed out by the officials?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more fun
as an
that
AFC
way.
West rival, yes. Yes, he
it's,
would.
It's much more fun that way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't like, and these are the things that it gets really old when one team is just winning over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you're like staring down the barrel of, you know, whether it was the Steelers in the 70s, the Niners in the 80s, the Cowboys in the 90s. And you're just like, well, here we go again, right? The Patriots in the 2000s. And now you have the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2020s, which they are a juggernaut. And we all just look for the reasons to try and knock them down a peg.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah. I mean, let's knock them down a peg for more so for the Kareem Hunt. And Andy Reid saying today, yeah, we did our research on Kareem Hunt. Yeah. How deep did that go?
He's grown up since 2018. That was the line that they used.
All right.
Which.
Sure.
Okay.
We know why you're doing this. Don't hide it from us.
Because you don't care.
You really don't care because you have a Super Bowl window that is open right now and you don't know how long it's going to be for. And so you got to keep it open as long as you can. And you need a running back because Isaiah Pacheco is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
And Kareem Hunt run really fast.
Yeah. And he has familiarity with what you do.
Yeah. Whether it's Tyreek Hill, whether it's Kareem Hunt, whether it's Bracey Rice, like, it's evident right now. You, as an organization, do not care.
Is that the thing, though, that we go with, like, is it more palatable for people to just get fed the BS, and even though it's so easy to see through, or would we handle it better if there was honesty and transparency? Well, and
there are
Andy Reid just said it.
There are organizations in sports that do not care. The Kansas City Chiefs, Oklahoma City Thunder, those are two organizations that do not care.
But then they feed us a lot of BS with both Josh Giddey and in.
But I also know that there are franchises, particularly in the NBA, that would not and will not touch anything that has to do with Josh Giddey, anything that has to do with Kevin Porter Jr., anything that has to do with Miles Bridges. Now, they aren't going to come out and say it because there's agents and stuff like that, but they will have nothing. They will go nowhere near them, and they do not care how many wins it gets them.
Yeah.
And I wish they would kind of get out in front of it and say that, as opposed to just, like, letting the unspoken part be out there. But I get why they don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would like there to be a dividing line of, like, no, when we say we will do anything to win, we mean anything.
Yeah. That's what Al Davis did with your Raiders. Like, he didn't care.
And the thing was, they were open and honest about it. Steroids? Fine. Criminals? Fine. Rebar in your forearm pad? Fine. Like, they did not care at all. And when I say rebar in your forearm pad and you think I'm joking, I'm not even remotely kidding.
Fred Biletnikoff catching a ball with his
forearm because he had, like, pine tar and stickum. Yeah. Cliff Branch had rebar in his forearm pad when he used to freaking clothesline people. Like, it was... That team was insane for 25 years. Criminals, insane asylum, spitting in people's faces, kicking people in the nuts when they're down. Like, it was a nasty, vicious, awful team. And you know what? Everybody embraced it because they knew what it was.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Jordan on the Vancouver Ford text line, the only thing that gets old faster than a team winning all the time is fans bitching that it's rigged. I agree.
Nah.
I wholly agree.
There is a level of riggedness to the Patriots, to the Chiefs. There is. And then there's the get down Mr. President calls that Tom Brady got, that Patrick Mahomes gets. It happens. It's fine. But it happens across sports.
Yeah, that's not rigged.
I wouldn't say rigged is Tim Donaghy. Yeah. That's rigged. But favoritism, yes. Favoritism does exist for the top teams across sports. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It is.
But to the level that people think it does, and this is why I think Barnwell does a really good job of breaking it down.
No, like, it's fantastic.
Barnwell is saying, sure, he may get a roughing the passer that he shouldn't every now and then, but to the point of it was only once, right, that he got a roughing the passer and it got overturned.
The interception, yeah.
But it's like, it's not to the level that you think it is.
No.
Right.
It's just the thing that amplifies it with the Chiefs is they seemed again pull that horseshoe out of their back end at the most important moment in the game.
Yes,
that's what.
But
amplifies
that was
it.
That was not like that's not even the play in question though.
No,
you're looking at the pass interference late in the game. Dude, that was PI. Yeah. I mean, that was PI.
I can see a world where you don't throw it, but you're going to throw the flag. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to, that flag is going to be thrown. Yeah. I don't,
it wasn't so egregious where you're like, I can't believe they threw the flag. We were watching the Manning cast and Peyton was complaining about a hold in the back of the end zone in the Falcons Eagles game. And it was like, I mean, there's something there, but if you threw a flag on that,
that's also a quarterback who will
once
always
it every
say
time.
That.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
like, nope. Hands on his hip. It's got to be a hold.
Got to call that. It's come on. But so it wasn't anything along those lines.
Yeah. And I that Colin made a good point, too, is like today he said, you know, they went down, they did a deep dive after the Deflategate thing when the NFL was checking Brady's balls more stringent than anybody else after Deflategate.
Did he tell him to turn his head and cough?
They probably did. Mm. But the 16 games after that were Tom Brady's statistically most efficient games of his career.
That's pettiness.
And so, like, but people always say, well, Brady, all he did was cheat. That's not the reason why Tom Brady was great.
Yes, it is.
This is not the reason why Patrick Mahomes is great.
The only reason Tom Brady was good.
These are both very triggering for you. Both of these quarterbacks. These aren't the reasons why those guys are great. It's the reason that people glom onto, though.
Yeah,
and I love that Barnwell shot it down before anybody else.
Oh, the thing was, I appreciated it instead of like, you know, it's going to be this or it's going to be that. He did the work first. That's what Bill Barnwell is one of the few kind of, I think, like more traditional journalists in that sense in that space now of like, let's do the legwork.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can tell stories, you can tell narratives, but like, huh, you know, this is a thing that we hear discussed all the time. I have the capacity to look this up. Let's spend some time and die. Like, this is actually tangible, like, as opposed to, hey, X is Y, you know, in whatever it is in sports. This is like the space that I think that is the most interesting. I mean, there's a story that out there right now, it was came out this morning about the salary cap in the NFL and how you can find space with insurance. Like, these tangential things that you can just kind of find in the game now that are, I think are more important in the coverage of the game than the other meandering nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you mentioned traditional journalists.
Mm.
Guy stepped down today who is not traditional in the way that the NBA was covered. No more Woj bombs from us. Let's discuss, because there's a local connection to who may be next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Ravishing Rick Rude. All right. Adrian Wojnarowski has announced he is retiring from the news breaking biz. ESPN and Woj have been attached at the hip since 2017 when he came over from Yahoo Sports, and the Woj bomb became something that has been a part of our lexicon in the NBA circles for years now.
Is that all? It feels like longer than 2017.
Well, we've known him for longer than that because the reason why ESPN hired him is because he was a massive newsbreaker at Yahoo before that.
I guess that makes sense.
And so, like, but the Woj bomb became amplified when it was on every television.
Right.
And so, for 7 years, it's been Woj bomb after Woj bomb that we have come accustomed to seeing and hearing. But today, it kind of came out of left field that Woj is going to be stepping down as the newsbreaker and lead NBA writer for ESPN. He also he runs the entire NBA department at ESPN.
Oh.
So he's like Windhorse's boss. He's, well, anybody who's a writer for ESPN, Woj is the big boss man there.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. So he's been a guy that's been had a lot of control, and he's had a lot of power at ESPN for several years now. And it obviously is, it's going to be weird to see like with this hole now in news breaking, because it allows Sham Charania to be the guy for the NBA initially. But ESPN's going to backfill with somebody, whether it's Brian Windhorst, who gets fed all of the information instead of Woj, or it could potentially be a guy that's worked here for a long time, Chris Haynes, who stepped away from Yahoo Sports. And he's seeking, I don't think he's with TNT anymore. So
Bleacher Report?
You're seeing, that's under the TNT umbrella.
Was it? Okay.
It's the Turner family,
okay.
Is Bleacher Report. But he's not doing the TV work for TNT anymore.
Okay.
And so we could see him just get swooped up by ESPN, and that'd be a huge come up for a guy who's covered the league here in Portland before. But it would be a vast change in coverage.
Yeah.
Because of where Woj gets his information from, as opposed to where Chris Haynes gets his information from.
Yeah, agents versus players.
Franchises versus players,
yes.
Too.
Yeah.
You know, like, Haynes is really good at getting stuff from the players and from the players' angle. And, you know, that there was always a criticism of him here in Portland that he was too close to guys like Dame and CJ, right? Mm-hmm. And that clouded his coverage of the team. I don't think it did. Haynes did a damn fine job, and he is a great dude, and there's a reason why people in the NBA gravitate towards him.
Yeah.
And it's not just because he was a young black journalist who was really good at his job. It's because he is damn good at building relationships with anybody and conveying that message and articulating it well. And is it player skewed? Yeah, it absolutely is player skewed. But Woj was wholly like team and franchise skewed.
Yes.
And there's a massive difference in the way that what information comes in and what that information looks like.
Yeah, and let's face it, there's nobody that's getting that information from all sides of each party.
Oh, I mean, goodness, no.
No.
No. But I think one thing that both Woj and Haynes do a good job of is it's not just, hey, I'm just going to get this report, fire it out there, and then I'm just going to let it go. And there's integrity to the reporting that they have, and that they double check their sources. They will make sure that everything is dialed in, and they get it straight from the horse's mouth more often than not.
Yeah.
But Woj stepping away is odd.
It is odd.
It comes as a surprise.
It does come as a surprise, and I was surprised to hear it too. But what I also find surprising isn't the right word, but it just seems like the reaction to him retiring and stepping away.
Like he's dead.
Yeah. It's just all the fawning over him. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit over the top for me.
I agree with that. But I do find there was one fantastic tweet that I absolutely loved.
Uh-huh.
This comes to us from Gregory Smith on Twitter. Adrian Wojnarowski got woken up in the middle of the night to be told Isaac Okoro was signing a 3-year, $38 million deal to return to the Cavs, and immediately reevaluated his life.
that makes sense. That might cause you to look in the mirror a little bit, huh? Just what am I doing here?
I feel like at that moment, like that song just started playing in Woj's mind, like the epiphany, you know what? I'm missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
This isn't the life I want to live. So thank you, Gregory Smith, I hope Gregory is a name because it's fantastic.
Yes.
I've never seen Gregory before.
No.
It looks as weird as it sounds.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I saw that tweet and it gave me a good chuckle because I bet there was that moment for him where he was just like,
yeah,
I can't do this.
Well, and I think I forget who it was that brought up this good point, but just think of it this way, whether he's on vacation or holidays or whatever, he is never off the clock.
Always on.
Telling a story about, I don't remember if it was a trade deadline or a draft or whatever, and he's sitting there with his multiple different phones, and one of them he was using so much that it started smoking. So he opened it up, took out the SIM card, threw that one in the trash, and then put the SIM card in a new phone and just kept going.
That's not a life. That's not a life.
No.
Yeah, that's not a life.
Just, you know, imagine him trying to sit down at dinner like with his wife on their wedding anniversary and, you know, hang on, honey, I got to tweet this.
Yeah. Boy, this is Rufio with a great text. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to try to find this because I don't know the answer. What was the original Woj bomb? What was the first breaking news that coined the term?
Oof.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
I will find that out. I will find out. This is going to be my third life's work. I feel like this one is going to be the most attainable quickly. What was the original Woj bomb?
Yeah.
Danny, do you know what the original Woj bomb was? Like where the term Woj bomb?
It actually originated when he was a author at Yahoo, when he would have takedown pieces. Most people don't realize that Woj used to be a pretty decent profile writer.
So we don't know which the first where it first came from though. Where we started.
It might have been his first LeBron takedown.
That would be Miami?
Yeah.
The fallout in Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Or when he left for Miami.
Yeah. Now people are asking.
But it was an OG thing. Like it came from his writing, not the tweets.
Biggest Woj bomb you remember? I know what mine is.
Ooh, biggest Woj bomb. Bubble. Bubble's up there.
Mine is the NBA has suspended the entire season.
Yeah.
Like that was like huge. That was the biggest one that sticks out to me is when, but that I was like, whoa.
Cause even with it's probably that because I remember I was sitting courtside the night before and I was talking to one of the big names from Adidas behind the scenes about, do you think this is going to be anything? This was before COVID, and we knew, like, I don't think so. I don't think it's shut down. And one of the PR folks came out from the Blazers, like, I don't think this is, like, it's going to impact things for a couple of days, but we'll be back to normal. And I remember everybody I talked to that night being like, no, it's fine. And then the next day, it hitting, and it was like, oh.
Okay.
That escalated quickly, because all the other big ones, like, Dame getting traded, it was a surprise, like, that he, like,
no.
That it was happening, but we all knew, like, LeBron going to Lakers.
Yeah, as my cursory search of the first term, the Woj bomb, mm-hmm. it was when he was with Yahoo, mm-hmm. when he published this line, NBA owners have pushed Commissioner David Stern to kill the deal, sending Chris Paul to the Los Angeles Lakers, sources tell Yahoo Sports.
There you go.
That's kind of like, That's the earliest, like, whoa, this is a Woj bomb. And then, so he was the first to report that, apparently. I will say the other one outside of the NBA season being suspended due to COVID, where I went, I think COVID is going to be a big deal, is when he was the one, remember all of the information that was coming out about Kobe Bryant and who was on the helicopter, who wasn't. You know, remember they, like, oh, people God. Killed Rick Fox at first.
Yeah.
Woj was the first person to pop on ESPN everybody. To be like, Kobe Bryant is dead. His daughter died and two members of the team and, like, the three other parents. I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, I mean, but as far as, like, breaking news and, like, being the guy, like, Woj has been the face of it. And he is what shaped Adam Schefter, mm-hmm. Jeff Passan. Like, Schefter gets paid more because he's in the NFL.
Yep.
Not because he paved this path. Woj is the preeminent, the alpha info broker.
Yeah.
Like, he is the one that made this a thing.
Oof.
It's going to be really interesting to see who ends up taking that position. Is it Ryan Windhorst? Is it Shams? Is it Chris? You know?
Yeah.
Because it will impact how things are covered.
Yep.
Drastically.
All right. 503-864-6326. That'd be the Vancouver Ford text line. You out. You're going to go to the WNBA announcement.
Indeed. I'm heading over to the press conference to see what's going on over there.
Check Danny at Danny Meringue. Maybe if they're done.
I'll call Ben.
Yeah, call in. Yeah. Call in if they're done.
Cool.
All right. Danny's out. We got the worst day on the web right now where Dover, not just from Wayne's World 2. Danny and Dusty. Here's Rust.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
All right, our worst day on the web. Have you ever been, like, stuck on a boat? Like a vessel that has ever stopped, or hell, stranded in the middle of nowhere in your car, like run out of gas anywhere in the middle of nowhere?
We did one time when I was a kid. My dad had a sailboat, and we got stuck on a sandbar in the Columbia by, like, a government island.
See, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you're just lonely. And especially, like, at least people are going by
right
there.
Yeah, it took a couple of other helpers to help get our boat unstuck.
Well, this... It just sounds like a mad lib of confusion here. And it is our worst day on the web. An Albanian man called the Dover, Delaware Police Department in a panic.
Or imagine being able to be magically whisked away to Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware.
Where the Albanian man in a panic was trying to relay information about his brother whose boat had stopped working and he was stranded.
Okay.
Okay. And as the dispatcher was on the phone with this Albanian man, not much was making sense about the location of this boat. That's because the Albanian man, who had been in communication with his brother who was stranded, was trying to connect with Dover, England, instead of Dover, Delaware.
Whoops.
The dispatcher, though, in the panic, was quick on their feet. It was like, all right, hey, okay, well, we're going to try to get coordinates here. We'll get this thing figured out. And this is now a call to the Dover, Delaware Police Department. Within 4 minutes, Officer Connor Logan had made contact with the U.S. Coast Guard, the French Coast Guard, His Majesty's Coast Guard in England, the United Kingdom's Maritime and Coast Guard Agency Coordination Center, and the police station in Dover, Delaware. And within 15 minutes and 48 seconds after the initial call, the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency confirmed rescuers were on their way to get this guy who was stuck in the English Channel, not in Delaware. And they ended up finding the guy and all is well. But could you imagine being that person just like picking up the phone call like, hey, 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, I'm stuck in the English Channel. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Usually, probably going to get dismissed relatively quickly there. But this dude, this Albanian man, calls the United States because all he did, the confusion started where he just was like, I was in contact with my brother. We lost service and he was stranded. All he did was Google Dover Police Department, and Dover, Delaware came up first on the Google searches, not Dover, England. So take that, Dover, England. We're number one, Dover, Delaware.
Even while you're searching overseas, do you still come up with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Dover, Delaware.
Yikes.
Yeah. That would be terrifying, though, to be stuck on a boat at sea, or hell, even in the English Channel there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty quick. That's pretty quick turnaround time. 15 minutes and 48 seconds from the initial call.
Not too shabby.
They already had a dispatcher out across the pond to go and get this guy out of the English Channel. I've never been stuck like out at sea. I'm more like you. Like, it's always been like a river.
Yeah.
Or a lake where it's like somebody's going to come by. You know,
Yeah.
I'm not chasing waterfalls.
No.
I'm not going out in the ocean.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sticking around. That is what terrifies me about, like, going on a boat in, like, out into the open waters.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Mm-mm.
Well, because, like, yeah, what? Yesterday, I don't remember if it was on In the News or in the Club Hour, Isaac was talking about there was an open water situation, basically. There was one where the scuba divers came up and their boat was gone because they were each other's buddy to keep tabs on.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they miscounted or what, but so yeah, they were just floating without the boat out in open water.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just like the movie.
No, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I don't like it. It doesn't like swimming in the ocean doesn't bother me.
Mm-mm.
But like if I can't see the land, I start getting a little uneasy.
Yeah.
I never want to go on a cruise. Like a cruise, there's nothing about a cruise seems appealing to me.
Yeah, being stuck on a big boat with what? How many thousands of other people?
Yeah. And you're like, it's like, I know they have a lot of activities. There's a lot of things to do there. That doesn't sound like a good time. And then you add on top of it, like, yeah, we're going out in the middle of the ocean too.
Yeah.
No.
And like, I'm not going to be affording one of those swanky cabins up top too. I'm going to be down there with Leo in the bottom.
You're damn right. You're going to be with Jack and the rest of the pores down at the bottom of that boat.
Exactly.
I don't like cruise does not. That is something that I've never been like.
Mm-mm.
Tropical vacations. Yes. In totally in on. I've actually heard though, the cruises that are the best are the ones that are the Alaska cruise.
Uh-huh.
I've heard is amazing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you should go. No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Mm-mm. No,
it's cold up there. Lots of icebergs.
I'm going to die in the ocean and cold? No.
Just going to ensure that I get hypothermia that much faster?
Yeah. And this texture too. Cruise drinks way too spendy. You got to sneak your booze on there like you're 16 years old again.
I thought all that stuff was like included.
No, like the all-inclusive cruises are really spendy, yeah. But like drinks on the cruise, on the boat, way more.
Like going to the stadium?
You see people, yes, yeah. Yes. You see people that are like going on, boarding a cruise ship, and it's like shampoo bottles full of booze, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're sticking them down your drawers as you're getting on the boat.
Why does the Pantene smell like Cuervo?
Yeah. Let me go ahead and bring my own booze. Why don't we have BYOB cruises?
Right?
Sheesh.
It's called a party barge.
Yeah. Another Vancouver text line. 3-hour cruise. Yeah, I've seen Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, right?
It's a 3-hour tour.
Yeah.
No. People don't give Captain enough credit.
Mm-mm.
Well, blame, not credit.
Well, I mean,
you know, I understand.
What's he supposed to do on that little boat?
I understand there was a storm, but you're the captain of that ship. You know, you should have been the first to go. When people started getting hungry, you should have been the first to go. I'm not going to let you just slide on this, captain.
Skipper.
Yeah, the skipper.
The skipper.
Yeah. And your first mate was Gilligan? There's first red flag.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. The other problem with cruises, they're a petri dish for anybody that's sick, spreading it to everybody else.
Well, remember when COVID hit?
Yeah.
All those people stuck out there.
Stuck at sea, you know? No, I'm not. I don't know when the next COVID's going to happen. I don't want to be stuck at sea when it does.
I don't want another one. I'd be fine if it didn't happen again.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Wow. We have a small world. This texture says it's an interesting worst day for him because he listens and he has an Uncle Ben who lives in Dover, Delaware.
Wow.
Who'd have thunk it?
Is he famous for his rice?
Yeah, if that was his Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben.
There he is.
Or is it Spider-Man?
All right. Ooh. Yeah. Aunt May. Uncle Ben.
Yeah. But it's got to be the Marissa Tomei version.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
They made Aunt May really hot.
Yeah, they did.
Tom Holland really lucking out with his Aunt May being Marissa Tomei.
Right.
I mean, that's a plot twist right there. That's changing. That's changing Spider-Man as we know it. Well, when Marissa Tomei steps in, you're like, wait a minute. You're not the old lady that I've known.
Well,
and
you've got these movies targeted toward teenage boys. I mean, how confusing is that for them?
Well, a lot of the videos that they're probably watching, they're like, yep, this tracks. All right, 503-864.
When's Aunt May getting caught in the dryer?
6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Still to come, we got NFL. There's one player that everybody says nobody gets second chances anymore. And I think he is 100% a second chance, and I'm fully on board with him after hearing what he had to say. The latest in recruiting violations in college football as well. But coming up next, I got a couple baseball notes for us. Got some? Want to hit some baseball notes?
Yeah, let's do some baseball stuff.
Yeah, and it's not entirely Mariner sadness related. Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, let's get to some baseball notes and nuggies here. Currently, the Seattle Mariners...
Baseball stuff!
The Seattle Mariners are 5 games back of the Houston Astros for the AL West lead. That seems to be dwindling away with each approaching day. Now 3 back of the Minnesota Twins for the final wild card spot. And... look, the baseball gods may be very cruel, but they must have an incredible sense of humor. Because the one thing about the Seattle Mariners in both of those races, trying to chase down the Astros and trying to chase down the Minnesota Twins, is there is one number that would fix their problems. And it's not a number they want to hear. It is 54%.
Oh,
yeah. Currently at 82-69, the Houston Astros are leading the AL West, winning 54.3% of their games on the season.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The Minnesota Twins, the final wild card team right now, 80-71, winning 53% of their games. So after an offseason where everybody got so upset at Jerry DePoto for saying 54% is what winning teams win at, they could miss the postseason this year by failing to win 54% of their games.
Ouch.
If they were to get to 54% of their games, likely in the postseason, which may be the most cruel and also hilarious number that the baseball gods could sit on for the AL wild card or the AL West win, because it's not a number that would win you any other division in baseball. But it is for the AL West this year.
Wow.
And it could be the number that holds the Seattle Mariners out of the postseason. Isn't that cruel?
Mariners fans just can't catch a break.
No. Oh, no.
Man. Good Lord. Just imagine if they had one dude on that roster that could hit.
Yeah.
Like with any sort of consistency.
Consistency, yeah. I mean, you look at it in 619 runs allowed. That's actually the second best in their division. It's the second best in the American League. The Oakland A's have only allowed, or excuse me, it's the second worst runs scored at 619 runs scored, only to the Oakland Athletics. They've allowed 575 runs this year, which is the best in the American League. You have the second fewest runs scored, and you have allowed the fewest in all of baseball. A plus 44 run differential. I mean, they don't, you have games like last night, right?
Yeah.
Where it gets away from you. It's 11-2. But at the same time, they lose really tight games.
Yeah.
You're just not allowing very many runs. 575 runs allowed is the best in all of baseball. 579, the Atlanta Braves. Next closest.
Eesh.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Like, that just makes the sting a little bit worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this pitching staff performing the way that it has, and how good they've been and how consistent they've been. But it could be worse. I mean, you could be the Chicago White Sox. I didn't know that this was part of the new collective bargaining agreement, but SpotTrack tweeted this out yesterday. Despite entering the final 2 weeks of the season with 115 losses, the Chicago White Sox will not draft higher than 10th in the 2025 draft. Because in the latest collective bargaining agreement, large market teams cannot own back-to-back lottery picks. So Chicago selected 5th this past July. They will not be eligible to be in the top 9 picks of the Major League Baseball draft. And they have lost, now that was 115 yesterday, they've now lost 116 games this season.
Oof.
Have a run differential of -312.
Oh, sweet fancy Moses.
The Colorado Rockies, very bad at baseball.
Yeah.
They are -218. The White Sox are -312. So it could always be worse. You could be the White Sox who, you're bad, but you can't even get a high draft pick either.
Sounds like Blazers.
Baseball. It kind of does. Would that be the way that you'd want to go? You're just like, we're not going to win that lottery anyway, so just don't even put us in there.
Yeah, right. I'd rather just know I'm getting 15th than thinking we could have a chance to get the one and wind up at 7.
Yeah, true that. True that. Also, yesterday from baseball, we applauded baseball for not having any stupid unwritten rules violations this past year.
Oh, yes.
Well, we did have Hardo ump yesterday. Jose Altuve got ejected last night, top of the 9th inning against the Padres. Score was 3-3 in the top of the 9th inning. Altuve hits a soft grounder down the third baseline, and he promptly got thrown out. Well, Altuve never ran to first base. And it was because he fouled the ball off of his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should have been a foul ball.
Right.
The umpire is like, nah, nah, bro, not going to do this. So Jose Altuve goes, shoeless Jose. And he took his shoe off because the trainer came out to go look at his foot. And he showed them, the umpire, the bruise on his foot. And as he was sitting there in his little tiny feet out of his shoes, he points down. And the umpire takes a look at it, takes a look at Altuve, which means Altuve must have said the, you know.
He said some sort of magic word.
You. Yeah. Yeah, a magic word with you.
Yeah.
And then umpire goes, nope, run, you're tossed. Which may have been the most adorable ejection of all time. Altuve with his little shoes off like he's at the beach in San Diego.
Yeah. Well, funny how willing he was to take his sock and shoe off, but not let his jersey get ripped off.
Hey,
one
easy
time, huh?
Now. Easy now. We're getting Mahomes this all over again.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. He wasn't cheating on this one. Ball went off his foot. Okay? We have the video.
Yeah.
We have the Zapruder film. We've seen it. All right. There's your baseball stuff. There's all your baseball stuff. 54% Mariners fans. That's going to haunt you forever. All right. Let's get to hour number two with a player that the redemption arc, and if you don't think people get second chances, this guy's gotten it and he's knocked it out of the park. Next on The Fan.